This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Live from ESPN Studios in the Seaport District in New York City, it is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Harry Douglas in with us today. And he barely made it. But he made it. What time did your flight take off in Atlanta?
8:30. I landed at 10:55. I didn't get
where? None. Where'd you land?
LaGuardia.
All right, everybody. This is a new day in New York. When you land at LaGuardia at 10:55,
yep.
And you got to downtown Manhattan by 11:55.
But I didn't get my luggage until about 11:15, 11:20.
Wait. So touchdown was 10:55.
Yep.
Getting your baggage, getting luggage and out of baggage claim, and then getting to a car. In the car by when?
By 11:20.
11:20. From LaGuardia.
I think I text Stosh. Stosh, what time did I text?
Was it a helicopter or was it a car?
No, it was a car. Let me see what time I
texted Stosh. Everybody right now in New York sitting in traffic is going, there's no way in hell he did that.
Yeah, I text Stosh at 11:19. Just left LaGuardia.
11:19.
Yep.
That's
from LaGuardia.
Where there's a will, there's always a way.
I mean, if you told me you took the jet ski like I've always wanted to do, and you went down the East River under the bridges and pulled up at the seaport, I'd say, I could see that. But the fact that you got in a car.
Yep.
At LaGuardia Airport,
yep.
Got onto the parkway.
I don't even know what it was.
That's the parkway.
I was looking at NBA draft stuff in the car,
smart.
So I wasn't even.
But you're prepping. That's what you do. You're a professional. Yep. You did all that, got here in plenty of time for the show.
Ready to roll,
that's
baby.
That's why we love you, man. That's why we respect you.
I'm with
you.
My guy.
All right. Well done by you. And we've got a lot to get to, certainly, today. NBA draft is tomorrow. You just heard Harry say it, doing his prep. NBA draft is tomorrow. Full coverage starts at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. It's on ABC as well on the TV side of things. I'm part of the coverage tomorrow, Harry. I'm pretty fired up for it.
Okay. Yeah, look at my guy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And we'll do a lot of talk about the draft, a lot of talk about NBA, and a lot of football headlines to get to, certainly, with you as well. But now that you're here, safe and sound, now that you are ready to go, I got to play something. We'll call this Straight Talk, by the way, Straight Talk Wireless. Because on my way here, I was also tuned into some things. I always like to listen to everybody's takes about different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, we talked a lot about the story involving, or 2 days ago, Kyrie Irving not being happy.
Yep.
With an impasse was the word that was used in the report, with the Nets. And how, you know, they have till June 29th. And if they don't get a deal done by then, he's going into free agency.
He is going to
opt out, go into free agency, and see if teams like the Lakers or the Clippers or the Knicks will be willing to do whatever it takes to get him and give him the full guarantees that he wants.
Whoa.
Yeah, listen.
Whoa.
I said my piece already about how, no thank you, I'm all set. Right? No. All right? We've got enough circus. We don't need any more. But then I heard Stephen A. Smith. He was on with Chris Mad Dog Russo on First Take today. And this is what I'm hearing from a lot of Knicks fans. This sort of like, hesitant, but, and I can't believe that my good friend Stephen A. Smith would go this far.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. And this brother is a superstar talent. He is box office, okay? I'm sorry. Now, don't get me wrong. Let's not get beside myself. Ain't no way in hell I'm giving them more than 1 year at a time in terms of guaranteed dollars. I have held that position. I don't give a damn who it's for. You do not give Kyrie Irving a long-term guaranteed contract because you can't trust him. You can't trust him to show up to work. But once he's at work, I'll take him over 90% of the league. It might be higher than that. He is that spectacular. And when you're the Knicks, the success has been pretty pathetic, and the specter of what your future looks like doesn't look great either. If I got a chance to get Kyrie Irving walking into the Garden, and I don't have to guarantee more than 1 year at a time, oh, I'm going to take that chance.
It's not happening. If he reaches free agency, he's not going to sign a 1 year deal with the New York Knicks. That's not happening.
Well, think about it. Why is he at an impasse with the Nets? Because they won't give him a fully guaranteed
deal. And that's the best situation for him right now.
I want to say this is what really happened here. And that was Straight Talk, by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. What I think happened there is that Stephen A. caught himself. Where he started doing the whole, like,
got excited.
The idea of him playing at the Garden, like on the court, taking away everything else, on the court. Yeah, like that could be special. We've been waiting for a point guard since Clyde Frazier,
yeah.
Right? no disrespect to Mark Jackson, of course, but you know, I mean, an all-timer like Clyde Frazier. Like, that's how long the Knicks have been waiting for a great point guard. Mm-hmm. And he was excited about it, and then he goes, well, if I just have to get him for 1 year and I'm not having to guarantee any more years, but the 1 year, yeah, I'm signing up for that. And it's like, well, that's the whole reason why he's not signing with the Nets, is because they won't do that. So, Harry, talent is talent. I understand that.
Of course.
But is there any reason for anyone, including the Nets, to give him a contract worth anything, like guaranteed anything beyond 1 year, based on what he just said? It's not your talent. I can't trust you to be there for the team night in and night out.
Well, it's difficult when you have a guy who you view as a superstar and is a superstar in the NBA, but he doesn't play more than 50% of the game since he's joined your team.
Yeah.
That's something to be said for. And in my eyes, listening to everybody this past week about this whole situation, is that in my eyes, you cannot rob Peter and pay Paul, right? And I think Kyrie Irving wanting certain things but not being there for his team. And I think what happened to the Brooklyn Nets last year was a blessing in disguise.
A blessing.
It was a blessing in disguise because you can't just show up. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to play a couple games here. I'm going to play away games. I'm going to show up for my team.
Or you
team
think it should have been like you learned from this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It should have been an eye-opening experience for
you. You were beaten
you.
By a team that was thoroughly prepared because
yes.
their players are available all the time. They're like they put in the time in practice.
Yes.
They were just better prepared than you.
Yes, but not to mention, Kevin Durant's supposed to be your boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's your boy out there giving his heart and soul every opportunity he has a chance.
Right.
And you're just going out there giving everything when you can, when you feel like you can.
Right, not when you can, when you want to.
When you want to.
That's the problem. Now,
yes.
That brings me to this. And again, as we have the draft, you have the next generation of stars. You have all these young players coming into the league. And a lot of teams like to build with young players. Why? Because it's controllable. Just like in the NFL.
Yep.
Right? Rookie contracts, very controllable. Mm-hmm. They're young players, a little more eager. They'll do what you ask. All that stuff. It's a lot easier to build your team, although it just takes longer. But it's a lot easier to build your team that way than to chase stars and bring in stars. And one of the things that we have seen in the NBA, I think, is you're seeing teams getting away from the idea of putting together super teams through free agency, through trades or whatever, and then also handing the keys over. Like the Lakers did it with LeBron, and you understand why.
Yes.
And it turned into a championship.
Yep.
But they have reached sort of this issue now with LeBron having too much influence. And you saw Jeannie Buss and her whole story about there's LeBron, there's the Rambuses or Rambi, whatever you want to call them. And then there's you know, obviously those in the front office that have something to say. There's just so many people that are influencing decisions there that it makes it difficult to figure out who's really in charge.
Yeah.
But in the end, what LeBron wants is what you're going to get with the Lakers. But what the Nets have done is they've handed the keys over to these players, to these two players. It led to them firing a coach.
Mm-hmm.
It led to them trading for and then trading James Harden.
Stop right there.
Okay.
A coach that should be their head coach right now.
See, very much so.
Kenny
very
Atkinson.
Much so. Yes, very much so. You're absolutely right. But it turned out, well, we don't really want – like, and I don't think it's a we thing. I think Kyrie doesn't want to practice all the time.
Yeah.
Kenny wants to practice all the time. Kenny's old school, practice, you know, put in the work where – I don't really want a coach. I need somebody that at my level. All right, so bring in a two-time MVP and Steve Nash, who's never coached before in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And how's that working out for him? He's learning on the job and making mistakes and being called out for them all the time. But you see what's happening with the Nets. And now you're facing that moment of truth if you're the Nets, if you're Josiah the owner, if you're Sean Marks the GM. It's that moment of truth of, is it worth it to give in and give him a fully guaranteed four-year extension, which is what he wants, at the full max,
mm-hmm.
because talent-wise, sure, he's worth it. But what we've experienced over the last couple of years, your value to us was getting us Kevin Durant. At that point, there's nothing else that we can ask for you anymore because we know, as Stephen A. said, we can't trust you. So if you're the Nets, are you feeling pressured that you have to give him what he wants? Is there any other team that really would do this and say, yeah, I'll give him all he wants. I'm all in. As Stephen A. said, sometimes desperate times calls for desperate measures.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a team out there, and I would call his bluff.
But here's the flip side of it. You mentioned Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
That was a big piece in Kyrie Irving joining the Brooklyn Nets was Kevin Durant coming with him. And I think the person that's lost in all of this is Kevin Durant. Because, number one, he left a team in the Golden State Warriors that just won the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get me wrong. Kevin Durant is his own man. He is solidified in the National Basketball Association.
Absolutely.
But he's teamed up with Kyrie, and so far, in my eyes, Kyrie has left them out to dry.
That's how I feel too. But everybody feels like if you
they're
don't
a package deal,
right? If you don't do what if you don't give what Kyrie wants, and Kyrie leaves, then Kevin will want to be there.
He's going to go too.
I don't buy that either because I don't know a Kevin Durant who's the type to quit on anything. I've never seen him say I don't want to play basketball. Mm. I refuse to play. I've never seen him do that. I don't expect him to do it either. We'll continue with this conversation, of course, because you know. It's fun, and we love to get everybody involved in it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But coming up in a few seconds, as I mentioned, NBA draft is tomorrow night. The future of the NBA on the stage at the Barclays Center. We'll get you set for that after Harry has this from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Is your check engine light on?
No.
Mine actually came on the other day. Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let their professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. They will retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. They can even help you find a service center online. Just visit O'Reilly.com and click on Find a Repair Shop. When you see a check engine light, get the answers you need from a professional parts people, from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
What's your long-term goal?
Try to make it to the pros if I have a chance.
If you can see the butterflies in my stomach.
Let's do this!
Warriors select.
Yeah. I never will. I saw the sunshine rising and my life changed. I saw a different point of view within my price range. Oh yeah, it's high stakes trying to get
that
your
happened, baby.
Boy, I'm at a job. I built a life that I won't jeopardize.
Oh, no. Come on, America.
Who wanna take this from me? Well, I'm out enjoying my bread. I try to walk away from it, but I heard that voice in my head saying,
with the first pick, your Orlando Magic select.
And we will find out tomorrow night. As the NBA draft underway, it begins 8 p.m. You can see it on ABC TV. ESPN has coverage as well. ESPN radio coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. Part of that coverage will be Corey Alexander. You see him on ESPN ACC Network as well. College basketball analyst. Played 7 years in the NBA as well. Joins us right now. Corey, how we doing?
I'm good, my man. How you doing today?
Excellent. So before we even get into the draft, because you have all those years in the NBA, including some time with the Spurs, which model organization, I wonder how, like, when you look at the NBA today and see players having the control over some franchises literally just handing over the franchise to certain players, and what you think of that yourself as a former player. Can that work? Can you know, star players certainly would love it, but can that work overall for a team to have the full success of winning a championship?
It has worked. When you look at the fact that LeBron James took the Cleveland Cavaliers to the NBA Finals 4 straight years, won a championship in 2016, we've seen it work. The question is I don't think everyone deserves that right. And so that's the reality behind it is if you're Kobe Bryant-level player, if you're a Michael Jordan-level player, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, LeBron James, you're talking about the top 10 players in the world. You know, I mean, of all time, it works. But when you consider the fact that it's happening in so many different organizations with guys who are not that level of player, that's where it becomes a problem. And so when you look at what happened this year with Golden State, you have the most selfless superstar of all time in Steph Curry, who is not concerned about being the general manager. He doesn't go in and tell management who he wants to play with, this, that, and the other. He recruits guys if they are interested in coming to his team. Outside of that, he feels like he can win with what we have, and they've shown 4 out of the last 8 years they can do that. Mm-hmm. So I believe that's the model franchise and the way that you need to do it in the NBA. But we have seen where the star player is the general manager and president of basketball operations. We have seen that work in the past. I'm not sure how much it'll work in the future.
Yeah, it's also, again, you mentioning like one of the great players of all time. That's how it has worked for them. It's Barton Hahn, Harry Douglas here with me, Alan Hahn with Corey Alexander on the call right now. NBA draft tomorrow night. Coverage begins on ESPN Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern. So we talk about the stars of now and the stars of the present and past. But tomorrow night we'll be talking about the stars of the future. Out of this draft, Corey, I've heard a lot how it's very top-heavy. There's not really a lot of star power. Maybe it's a very top. Is there someone in this draft that 5-10 years from now will be saying it's best player in the league?
Paolo Banchero can be that guy. And when you think about who he is and what he is, you think about he plays very similar. And I'm not saying that he is as good as this guy, his player comp for me, but he's played similar to Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is the best player in the NBA, who's the best player in the world right now. And you think about the fact that he rebounds the basketball and at 6'10", 255 pounds, puts so much pressure on your defense to get back and build a wall around the basket because he can make plays for himself. But more importantly, he's a great passer, so he can make plays for his teammates as well. So if you put Paolo in a situation where he is that point forward and he has the ability to push the basketball off his rebounds, play pick and roll action, which he did in college, which I think he's probably the only 6'10 player who was actually running pick and roll with the ball in his hands last season. You talk about an elite level talent. And again, you know, with the NBA, a lot of it has to do with if you stay healthy, what type of environment you're in, the opportunities ahead of you. But in the right case scenario, we could be talking about Paolo Banchero 10 years from now as one of, if not the best player in the NBA.
Now, Corey, I want to ask you about the Orlando Magic, because the last previous two times they sat with the number one pick, they chose Shaq and then they chose Dwight Howard. Both guys reached the NBA Finals, not able to bring the title home to Orlando. When you see them sitting at the number one spot overall, who was the ideal guy that they should choose in this coming draft?
Well, Harry, and this is not a correction, but they actually had 3 number one picks.
Yep.
Remember, they took Chris Webber the next year, but they traded him away
for
Penny Hardaway.
Yep.
So, but again, when you think about those choices, each of those guys in Shaq and Dwight Howard both eventually decided to go as free agents and join the Los Angeles Lakers. So when you think about Orlando as what is considered a small market city, you have to go with the best fit. And you heard me just, you know, wax poetically about how great Paolo Banchero is as a player. And I think he will be the best player in this draft, but he's not the best fit for the Orlando Magic. Jabari Smith is the best fit for the Orlando Magic because they have playmakers in Jalen Suggs. They have playmaker in Cole Anthony. They've invested in that young backcourt. They've got a lot of pieces. I believe that they have 6 top 15 picks on their roster. And I want to say 12 overall first round picks on their roster overall. So they've drafted well, and so now it's simply about going and continuing that draft process, putting a finisher with those guys. And Jabari Smith, who in my opinion is the best shooter out of this bunch at 6'10", he's a very good defender. He's a guy that fits right in at that 4 combo forward spot alongside Franz Wagner, who was all rookie team last year. And now you've got a young core of Jalen Suggs, Cole Anthony, Franz Wagner, and Jabari Smith at your first 4 positions. I think that that is something in a couple of years you can compete in the Eastern Conference with, you know, if you throw in a veteran center in that mix. So I believe Jabari Smith is the best fit for them, but I'm not saying that he will be a number one pick that brings them a championship either.
Corey Alexander joining us right now on the call, ESPN ACC Network is college basketball analyst and will be part of the coverage of the NBA draft tomorrow on ESPN Radio. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern. It'll be myself. It'll be Corey, PJ Carlissimo. I look forward to it, Corey. And you'll learn quickly with me that I'll be waiting for that number 4 pick to happen. And the reason why is because I love trades. Like, I love when moves are happening. I love any type of like news like that where there's action and excitement and there's already a lot of attention being paid to the 4th pick overall because the Sacramento Kings have it, but there's so many rumors about them taking offers for it. And the player that a lot of people are looking at is Jaden Ivey. So it's going to cost a lot to move up to number 4. He's the point guard out of Purdue. And there's a lot of different comps about him that I've heard. Seth Greenberg yesterday told us it's a little bit of Russell Westbrook, a little bit, but a similar type of player. Is he worth giving up what would be probably a couple of picks, some future assets? It's going to take a lot to get there. Is it worth it for the teams that are trying to move up to get him?
I believe it would be worth it for the teams that are trying to get him. And more importantly, I don't believe that Sacramento would benefit by drafting another rookie. I believe when you look at the Sacramento Kings, they haven't had great success in their draft. Outside of De'Aaron Fox, I'm not really sure who they drafted over the past 5 to 10 years who's really worked out in that scenario. So if you're Sacramento, especially with Mike Brown coming in after coaching so many veterans with Golden State Warriors over the past 7, 8 years, you may want to use that pick to go out and get veteran guys who understand what the NBA life is like and guys who really maybe haven't been successful in other scenarios but have that level of talent. So for another team to go and use, you know, capital to go and get Jaden Ivey, I believe he could be that, you know, I think it could be beneficial, but it has to be the right fit. I don't think that Jaden Ivey is a generational talent. You know, again, I can understand the comparison to Russell Westbrook, but I doubt very seriously that Jaden Ivey will be as good as Russell Westbrook when it's all said and done. I mean, people, you know, throw that name around and they look at Russell Westbrook's last year, but which wasn't great, but you're also talking about an NBA MVP.
Right.
Very few guards have ever won that award. So, you know, to say that, again, is really high praise, in my opinion, for Jaden Ivey, a great athlete, but I wouldn't give him that level of comparison when you start talking about, you know, his ceiling in the NBA. I'm not sure that he's that type of guy who will be an NBA MVP at any point of his career.
Oh, wow.
Well, Corey, I want to look at the ninth pick, the San Antonio Spurs, and let me tell you why this is intriguing me. You have a guy from the university, from Duke University, named A.J. Griffin, who kind of gives me Kawhi Leonard vibes. Is that a spot you can see A.J. Griffin going to the San Antonio Spurs?
So, Harry, I'm going to say the same thing about that.
Corey hates comps. Corey hates comps.
I am not a fan of comps, and the reason why I'm not a fan of comps is because, again, when you compare guys to all-time greats,
yeah.
You know, we just talked about Russell Westbrook, who's the NBA 75th anniversary guy. We talked about Kawhi Leonard, who is a two-time finals MVP, NBA top 75 guy. I love A.J. Griffin. I think he's a big-time shooter. I don't think that he does the other things that Kawhi Leonard does. And you also have to realize that A.J. Griffin's not as big in stature as is Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't have the same wingspan. He doesn't have the same hand size.
Nobody does.
You know, and you look about exactly. No one does. You think about the things that have made Kawhi Leonard great. His defensive mentality is off the charts. And so, again, I think that A.J. Griffin would be a very good shooter throughout a good 3-and-D guy. But to compare him to Kawhi Leonard, I think that's going a bit far from that standpoint. But I will also say this, Harry. I don't think that A.J. Griffin will still be around at pick 9. I think he'll be gone before then.
Wow. Corey already sees what he's going to be putting up with me tomorrow night when it comes to every player that comes up. I'll be pulling out all kinds of names. Corey, I think he could be Bob Pettit. What do you think? You know,
the funny thing about it is that I hate when people ask me comparison questions, but I do it when I'm asking people.
It's such a basketball thing to do. It really is. But
I'll say this to both of you guys, though. I mean, that's the culture that we're in. And again, it's nothing wrong with the comparisons because you want to be able to try to project what is this person could be in the future. And again, so there's nothing wrong with it completely. It's just one of those things to where you have, again, we got to compare guys to, we can't compare them to the superstars. Let's compare them to maybe some all-stars.
Right.
And compare
right,
to the superstars.
Right. Instead, we'll just like, how about Harold Miner? Could you go with that one? Are you good with that? Hey, Corey, great to catch up. I look forward to working with you tomorrow night. All the best. And by the way, happy birthday.
I appreciate you guys. Looking forward to it, my man. We'll have some fun tomorrow, especially when you start throwing out all these all-star and Hall of Fame comparisons. We're going to have a good time.
And God help you win the Knicks pick. I'll tell you that, too. All right. Corey Alexander, ESPN ACC Network college basketball analyst and also part of our NBA draft coverage on ESPN Radio. Starts tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern. You want to tune in because you know I'll be very difficult to deal with if the Knicks do move up to the 4 pick. I don't care what he says about Jaden Ivey. I will be celebrating.
I get to do the pre-draft show with Digital tomorrow, so I'm excited. I get to go up to Bristol, so I'm excited.
So we got a lot of coverage. We got a lot to talk about. We also have to talk about this coming up. One league commissioner has his hands full today. If anybody's looking forward to the start of the season, it's this guy. We'll discuss. Barton Hahn with Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Return to the Mac.
The Mac is back, baby.
Harry Douglas joining us today. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus as well. We want you to try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G and America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G cable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We are going to rack up the calls. You are always part of the conversation. You know that. But with Harry here, go through some NFL headlines. And every single one of them has Roger Goodell just going, can we just get to week one, please?
Please.
Because this offseason, so you have, of course, yesterday's news of 20 of the 24 civil lawsuits against Deshaun Watson have been settled for remain. And, of course, lots of questions about how much time he will be punished, if there's time, what time, all that stuff. It's still to be determined. There is also, of course, the NFL filing a motion in federal court to compel Brian Flores' class action lawsuit against the league and several teams to go to an arbitration. So there's that they're still dealing with as well. And then, as you might have heard on SportsCenter just moments ago, Christine Lisi telling us about the Washington Commanders and all of those issues with Daniel Snyder and what's going through there with the U.S. House Oversight Committee releasing a 29-page memo on all of its findings and investigation, a lot of depositions, and then, of course, Commissioner Roger Goodell scheduled to testify.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I have just one question to begin with, and then I'll let you give me your thoughts on all of those topics. Mm-hmm. The first one, Harry, is yourself as a wide receiver, and you obviously see how Terry McLaurin doesn't, right? He's holding out, wants to get paid.
Yep.
Is there part of you that would say there's certain franchises that no matter what they offer me, I ain't playing there? Is Washington one of them?
I think, right, if you look at the last 15 years when it came to the Washington Commanders franchise, yes, it is. Let's not forget now, in the 80s, what they were, mm-hmm. the early 90s.
Yeah.
They were a team of force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. They were one of the great franchises.
Remember the Posse's, Art Monk, Joe Gibbs, and those guys.
Yeah. Well, you have that too, yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean?
So, absolutely. Trendsetters as well when it comes to black quarterback winning a Super Bowl. I mean, there's just so many things there that they were part of, despite the fact that the name a lot of people had a problem with. They did change the name, but it feels like the culture hasn't. At least maybe it's starting to now, but not before it got toxic.
And I'm close with a guy who played there in his career, Daryl Green.
Yeah.
And he's very close to me and one of my mentors, a guy I look up to. But when you look at this organization, they have dropped the ball in so many ways, from the way they handled the RG3 situation. the front office want one guy. The head coach wants this guy. So there now it's friction amongst the players a little bit, and you're not going to be able to get the best out of guys that you may possibly want to get. From the owner, Daniel Snyder, and his things behind the scenes, to from the cheerleaders. The list goes on and on and on and on again. But here's the one common denominator for me is, when is the NFL going to start punishing people in the position that Daniel Snyder's in?
Oh, you mean taking on an owner?
Yeah.
It's interesting you say that, because Dan Graziano, who, as you know, is an ESPN NFL insider, was talking about that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like that's another issue, because – one of the things that I think this committee has had a problem with the NFL is nobody's held this guy accountable.
Yep.
And there's been all the email leaks that you saw, there's just a lot of evidence there. But when you're an owner you're like, long it ain't me, right? A lot of times it's that, because a lot of them probably know, boy, if they start digging into my background, maybe they'll find something, and I'm the next one in the crosshairs. So I'd rather just sit this one out. And that's what Dan Graziano talks about.
I would think that, you know, get these guys in an honest moment, they would tell you they don't want to live in a world where they could potentially be forced to sell their teams.
Yeah.
So they're reluctant to go down that road. So I think that's seen as a pretty dramatic step by the NFL owners, and they're not there yet.
And that's why, like, committee chair Carolyn Maloney announced today that she's going to subpoena Daniel Snyder for a deposition next week, because he just continues to find reasons not to be part of this whole investigation.
Yeah, they say he's on his yacht right now in France.
How about that?
When they invited you to come tell your side of the story of things.
Yeah, come defend yourself. Nah, I'd rather go to the Riviera.
Let me go on my super yacht.
Super yacht.
And do my thing.
Yeah. They're just going to hang out here if that's all right with you guys. You guys go ahead and talk. I'm just going to be here, doing this.
Terrible.
But Carolyn Maloney goes on to say, like, the NFL is unwilling or unable to hold Mr. Snyder accountable. And that's why they're subpoenaing him. Because, we're going to hold you accountable then for all these things that you're doing. You heard Dan say, if you want to get everybody in an honest moment, we got a problem with this guy. But nobody's ever going to say it. Because I do think a lot of these guys say, well, then they're going to look into me and maybe they'll find stuff about me. So I'm just going to shut my mouth.
Well, and we got to remember, right? The owners, basically, they're the commissioner's boss in so many ways.
And people always forget that. But this whole thing about Roger Goodell should call him out. That's not quite how it works.
They pay my salary.
Well, David Stern, was able to step in with the whole Clipper disaster. And it's like, yeah, because all the other owners said, take care of this guy.
That's right.
That's how that works.
But you brought up a great point, though. If it's no telling what Daniel Snyder knows about everybody else. And once the domino starts to fall there, and everyone, that's one of the reasons why what's the coach that just got let go in Vegas for the Raiders?
Oh, Gruden.
I can't remember his name. That's one reason why Gruden.
The emails that were revealed with his contact with Bruce Allen.
He wants to know, why am I the only one that's getting sought out when you had all these emails you had to review?
Why do you think?
Why am I being the scapegoat?
Why do you think?
Oh, you know why.
Yeah. Tell us why.
Well,
They needed someone.
They needed somebody to take the fall.
That's it.
And cover a lot of other things up. Because I can guarantee you, within all those emails, they seen and found a ton of things that was said by owners.
Yes. Yeah.
Not just a one person.
But let's just put that out there. Yeah. Well, there's more for Roger Goodell to deal with. Again, I want to get your take certainly on Deshaun Watson, what the Browns should do going forward. In that whole situation, we've got calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart and Hahn and Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
ESPN Radio, coming to you live from above the Heineken Riverdeck at Pier 17, as you just saw there on ESPN Plus. So Roger Goodell, as I mentioned, is now in front of the House committee going over what is supposed to be a deposition involving the Daniel Snyder investigation, but there is apparently a senator that is originally from New England who has decided to start asking him about Deflategate. This is what I mean by, if you're Roger Goodell, man, can we just get to week one? Like, can we just, like, what am I, what are we doing here?
When did Deflategate even happen?
Like,
what year was that?
Deflategate?
Yeah.
It was after they beat the Colts, right? Beat the Colts in the playoffs?
I can't remember.
It was a while ago.
Our point exactly.
That was a while ago.
Why in the hell is he asking about Deflategate?
But it doesn't matter. It's just
why is he asking about Deflategate?
All the things they could be asking Roger Goodell right now. So it's Pat Fallon, who's actually now in Texas, but originally from New England, asking about it. Yeah. Also, went on this whole ordeal talking about the greatness of Tom Brady. Then concludes by saying that the whole hearing is a clown show. So this is great.
It's always going to be one.
Roger Goodell.
It's going to always be one.
God bless him. In regards, of course, to Deshaun Watson and all the other stuff going on, I mean, there's obviously a lot of different takes to have, but a lot of people do want to talk to us about what's happened with with Snyder and the ownership situation in the NFL. So let's get to that right now. We have Brian in North Carolina. Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I get confused that the owners always seem to get a pass. The players have to go through arbitration, and I just don't quite get it. It's like, it's the same offenses,
You want to talk numbers or how many people are complaining? I don't quite understand why the owner behavior is kind of like, well, I know not you guys are chuckling it off, but what's the deal?
Well, it's because it's control. It's the control and the power, Brian. That's really what it starts with, right? Owners control everything. It's their league, and they'll protect each other, and that's what they do as a league. And so it's not a public league. It's public consumption, but that's how it is. And if they deal with stuff privately and punishment, like, you never see it. Owner versus owner accountability, and there's a reason for it.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Harry Douglas with us. ESPN Radio coming to you live from above Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Roger Goodell right now in the midst of talking with the Senate committee about the Dan Snyder stuff, and also being apparently asked about the Deflategate and several other things as well. But going through, obviously, right now, as the commissioner, heavy is the head that wears the crown, you got this going on, and Daniel Snyder sitting on a yacht, super yacht, sorry, somewhere in the French Riviera, while you have that happening, everybody else talking about him, but him not wanting to be there to talk and face the music. You have the Deshaun Watson story happening as well. Let me ask you about that before we get back to the calls. What do the Browns do at all this season? Even if he's to miss half the year, whatever it is, there's going to be some type of punishment. It might not even be handed down this year. We don't know.
Yeah.
Because if things go to court, I believe Jake Trotter told us that it's not till the spring if they actually go to court. So I don't know if you can hand out any punishment. But let's just say
they do.
They get to a point where, okay, it's time for the league to decide, is it half a season, is it the whole season, whatever it is. Do they really just play with Jacoby Brissett? Is that all they really do? Is Baker Mayfield even an option that you have to consider? Don't they need each other at this point?
First of all, when it comes to the NFL, you'll never need anybody.
Really?
I'll say this.
The Packers need an Aaron Rodgers.
But I got taught this early on. Don't forget that shield and that logo. They don't need anybody. The Green Bay Packers are going to make money regardless.
Oh, I see what you mean by need.
The Browns organization, yeah, they're going to make money.
The business goes on regardless.
Look how terrible they've been for so many years, and people are still supporting them.
Yes. Okay.
Now, the flip side of that is, when you look at a guy like Baker Mayfield and the way everything went down and his mindset towards the Cleveland Browns organization, I don't know how you can bring him back in being disgruntled. So now, if something doesn't go his way, is it going to trickle down to other players? Because he is the quarterback, right? The quarterback position is supposed to be a guy that can help lead your team to certain directions.
But don't you think he should have just as far as the right mindset of going, I've got nowhere to play, and I'm at the end of my contract, at the end of the season, right? I want money. I want to get paid. So this is good for me. It's almost like if I was mediating a marriage, right? And you could tell both sides, they shouldn't be together anymore. They don't want to be together anymore. But you got to give it one more year. Let the kids get out of school.
But is that
Like one more year. You guys need each other right now because neither of you can afford this. You both need each other. Stay together one more year. And then you can split. And for Baker, I play well. It's a good roster. If I play well, all right, I walk, become a free agent. Somebody sees that I had a good year and I'll get paid. I'll get a chance. If you're the Browns, at least he knows the system. He knows the guys. Like, we know what we have in him. We'll work through it. We'll make it work. Like, what's better, that or Jacoby Brissett?
Sam Darnold?
Like, who are you bringing in?
Let me ask you this. You're telling me Baker Mayfield has matured that much in a few months?
It's not about maturity. It's about realizing the situation.
I understand that.
Just knowing, where else am I going
to
go?
But here's my thing. If the Cleveland Browns feel like Baker Mayfield is going to be a cancer to the organization, why in the hell am I bringing him in? I understand you want to win.
I understand. But how could you possibly think like that if you're Baker Mayfield? Like, oh, I'm going to – if I don't get my way. No. How are you not in desperate mode right now? Hell wants you? Nobody.
They didn't win with him last year.
He was hurt. He wasn't great.
Everybody keeps saying he was hurt.
But he wasn't great.
A lot of people in the league are hurt.
They were still a good team, though. It wasn't like they were garbage. All I'm saying is, what are your options?
If they had been a quarterback, they probably would have made playoffs.
What are your options? What are your options? He doesn't have any options, and the Browns don't. And don't give me this whole, what about, you know, Jimmy G?
What's wrong with Jimmy G?
You think the 49ers want Baker? Like, how are you getting Jimmy G without sending them Baker Mayfield? Oh, yeah, I want to bring him in and put him with Trey Lance. That's going
to
work.
Hail to the no.
Hail to the no is right. So, again, you're out of options, and our only option is each other. So let's make the best of it.
Would the Browns sacrifice a year? Would they sacrifice?
Doing what?
Do you stick with Jacoby Brissett? Would they sacrifice? You don't think they would sacrifice?
Man, you ask a Browns fan if they want to. Oh, wait another year, guys. Let's wait another year. Let's just keep waiting.
But is it a guarantee we're just going to win with a Baker Mayfield, though? Because everybody's making it seem like the Browns are just going to win with Baker Mayfield. We just seen this nonsense last year.
Right.
I understand.
I saw two years ago that they did win.
But what about the other years he was there, too?
He hadn't been there that long.
The other year.
Yeah.
Exactly. Since 2018, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And he looked really good his rookie year when he took over. It looked like they had something special. I'm just saying this is a marriage now of convenience. If you lose Deshaun Watson for an entire season, which now apparently is a possibility.
Is that Baker's mindset, though?
He better make it his mindset.
That's what I'm saying. We can't make somebody have a mindset that we know he doesn't have.
You have two choices. You can change your mindset or you'll have nowhere to play. Which one do you want? We're back after this. Bart and Han with Harry Douglas.
Bart and Han.